so we appreciate who he and his wife is and what they are doing. God is doing a great work in the world today. Several years ago, on one of my trips to Africa in Chad, I was visiting with Pastor Hondo Joe. He is our translator for the Sarakaba Dem language. It was a funeral visit. His wife had passed away. And we're sitting under the mango trees, sipping tea. And he told me, he informed me that his friend Andre had passed away. Andre was a childhood friend of Job's. And over the years, their paths had gone in different directions. Job became a pastor like his father, a Baptist pastor, a believer. Andre became not the proper term, but a witch doctor. He was a leader in the African traditional religions. Their paths went in different directions. But Job had shared the gospel with Andre. But Andre was always standoffish. One day when the Sarakaba Dem translation was dedicated, Andre was there, and he heard the gospel preached, and he heard the word of God in his own language, and he received Christ. And Job was curious. He asked him, Andre, we've talked about this before, why now? After all these years, why now? And he said this, I can never believe that a God who did not know my language could love me. But when I heard him speak to my own language, I knew that he loved me. And that testimony, beloved, has been repeated as the word of God has been made available to the world's people. That testimony has been repeated again and again. God speaks my language. In other words, 7,000 languages, over 700 have the complete Bible. There are another 1,500 that have the New Testament. And there are well over 2,000 works in progress. And my generation, I'm 45, we hope and we expect this to see the day when the last Bible translation will be started, the last language will be started. But there's still much to do. And as we look to the future in Bible translation, we anticipate the great need for the Old Testament translations. As one national put it, says, we have our vest, the New Testament, now we want our pants. And so to help these people get their pants, God has raised up ministries like Johan and Brittany, the ministry like they are involved in, to help Bible translation ministries like ours. We work with Bibles International, based locally here in Grand Rapids. To ministries like theirs, God has raised them up to help us translate the Word of God, and particularly in the Old Testament. Paul asked the question, what advantage has the Jew? Well, he said, to them God had entrusted the oracles of God. So to the Hebrews, God entrusted the Word of God. Not only has given the Word of God, but he's also allowed them to help us to understand them. And so Johan and Brittany are national Israelis. They're here in Grand Rapids to help our ministry for 2.5 weeks. They've been teaching us Hebrew. Particularly how to hear it and to speak it. We learn how to read it. And so this has been a kind of a new dimension for us, to hearing it and speaking it. It's kind of like a combination of grad school and kindergarten. And we're singing the alphabets. We're acting out Bible stories in Hebrew, because again, listening in here is all kind of a big learning curve for us. But I'm happy to introduce them. I'm glad he can be with us to share a little bit about their ministry and to be able to share the Word of God. So, Johanan, you come.
Oh, wow. It's really, really precious to be here. I can't express how precious it is to go to the other side of the earth and find people that love God. And therefore, we're brothers and sisters, and we don't need much of an introduction. We're a family. It's also a little bit sad later to say goodbye to newly found family. But it really, really is a blessing. My wife is sitting over there. Her name is Brittany. My name is Johanan. You can try saying it. Johanan. Okay, good. Some of you have a good I heard. Okay. We live in Modi'in. We just moved to a city that is between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. It's a glorified suburb city. A very big city in Israel, compared to Israel. About 90,000 people live there. and a very broken city. Lots of people there try to keep up with appearances, which takes a lot of effort and is something that never actually satisfies you, right? So in that big city, there is a small church that we attend with about 50 people, if everyone comes. So this is the place we live, and I will share a little bit more about this brokenness as I share from God's word. Besides that, Brittany and I are praying for our own kids, and in the meantime are starting the process to foster kids, which in Israel for believers in Jesus is not the easiest. The government isn't very fond of us and doesn't want us to get kids that we might teach them things about God and about Jesus. They are scared of that. I know him as Yehoshua has shared, we both serve in a ministry that is called Hebrew for the Nations, and Brittany has tried to tell me how to do this. There will be stickers afterwards at the end with our website and things you can take. There is some Hebrew on that to get to know the ministry a little bit more. And also we brought a gift. There will be about one per family here, one per household. These are maps from Israel, maps of Israel and the Bible and the sites. So I hope that if you take this and as you read, you open it up, it might make things more alive. Lastly, if you will want to be in touch later, there will be a prayer card with our contact info. All of those will be in the back afterwards. The reason I'm excited to be here is exactly what Joshua has been sharing. I can't sometimes understand and realize how big of a thing it is when you don't have God's word in your own language. I don't know what translation you guys use. Is there a translation everyone uses, or each one uses something else? So within this room, there are maybe a couple, three, four, five different translations. All of them speak to your heart, right? And you chose that one translation because it speaks to your heart. And that's what God's word is supposed to do, is exactly that. And there are about 1.5 billion people in the world. 1.5 billion people in the world that don't have a complete Bible. And maybe you have the New Testament, but don't have the Old Testament. They're missing the beginning. They have just the end. They have the end of the story, and they go like, okay, I know what happened at the end. I want to know how does the story begin? We all love God, right? Yes, okay. I'm thankful you're answering. Okay, we all love God, and we want to see everyone around us also get into this relationship, into this love relationship with Him. Right, this is what you do within your community, we do within ours, and hopefully we also send people out to share it in all parts of the earth, to the end of the earth. And why do we do that? Why is God's word so important to bring to others? We can share the gospel. Why leave with them the word? I can give you an idea, okay? I come up with some ideas of what God's word means to me. I thought, first of all, it's like a contract. God's word is like a contract filled with God's promises to us, and we can hold that contract up to God and say, you promised. We hold on to your promises. Right? This is why we keep on going. This is why we're faithful, because we know you are faithful. We have proof. We have the contract you've given us. Right? It's also a love letter. A love letter from the person, from the God who knows us so intimately and loves us so passionately with words of comfort and encouragement. It's the greatest textbook to get to know God better, right? Do you know TED Talks? Is that the thing that people know? TED Talks, they're like inspirational, not interviews, talks, inspirational talks on the internet. This is the greatest one of them, to inspire us to walk closer and deeper with God, to challenge our walk with Him. It's the greatest encyclopedia to testify of what is actually the truth, when truth is such a shifty word today in today's world. And it's a novel filled with our heritage, who we really are, our identity in Christ, in God. And all of those things, when we bring the gospel to people, we want them to have all those things to grow themselves even more. And this is what organizations like Bibles International work without ceasing to make happen. And so Hebrew for the Nations is a ministry that has grown in Israel to help with a little bit. We are humble and try to humble ourselves and recognize God has been doing this work through so many people for centuries. We are not coming to fix anything. We're just with a little bit that we have, we want to come and support and strengthen the work that is being done around the world. And what do we have? We have Hebrew. This is why my Bible goes the wrong way. Okay? This is why. When I say Genesis, it starts the wrong way for you. And this is why I'll need your help as we approach God's word, that some of you might volunteer to read out loud some verses, because if I read them, it might not mean as much to you, because that's not your heart language. It's mine. It's not yours, though. And I want you to have God's word in your language, to hear it in your language. So we take Israelis, that this is what they read, that this is how they approach God's word in the original, and it speaks to their heart, which is a miracle in itself. What God has been doing in Israel in the past century, bringing Jews from all over the world and reviving a language that has been dead for thousands of years, that hasn't been used in that way and spoken to people's heart in that way. And today we have kids born, and they open the Bible and they can read it in the original language. How amazing is that? This is really a miracle. And so we take those Israelis, and in 6 months we train them a little bit in biblical Hebrew and in how to teach it as a living language, because we want the translators and the translation consultants to have Hebrew in their heart, not just as something that they analyze and translate, but something that's in their heart, that they can then more easily approach God's word and just read through it and enjoy it, and not have to always use books and things. They surely do need those too. It's always more rich and deep, but that they can approach it more easily and be more efficient in their work. So this is Hebrew for the Nations, and this is a ministry. So enough about that. I love God's word. And I love to share some with you. So let's pray as we open God's word. Abba, we thank you for your precious word that you have given us. We thank you for it being a living word, for it working in our lives, and that we can open it freely without having to be scared or being persecuted for it. We thank you. We thank you, and we ask that you speak to us through your word this morning. For your glory, Yeshua. Amen. So I hope to teach you about a word and a half in Hebrew. I already know you know for sure two words, because they were in the first song. Two words in Hebrew that you know. You know hallelujah, right? Hallelujah, that's Hebrew. And you know another word, amen. Amen. Okay, so you already know two words. I'll teach you one and a half more. Let's start with this amazing word, chesed. Chesed. Can you say it? Chesed. Oh, very good. Your chet has improved very much. Very good. Okay, so chesed. Chesed is this amazing word that is being translated in all sorts of ways. I do believe you know what it means, but I think if we look at it in its context, we can get it even to be more rich to us, to mean even more to us. So let's start by opening in Genesis 40, verse 14. Genesis 40, verse 14, it's in the story of Joseph. Joseph is in prison. He's in prison, and there are the guys dreaming dreams, and he tells them what the dreams are. And then, in verse 14, he asks one of them, something. Can someone read verse 14? Read it out loud.
But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house.
So remember me as Pharaoh is going, as you're getting out of prison and you're going to live. The other guy, his dream didn't end up as well, if you remember. But this guy is going to live. Remember me, and do kindness. Here, kindness is chesed. Ve'asita na imadi chesed. This is our word. This is kindness. Kindness. Do kindness with me. And here we see a little aspect of what it means. Chesed is always in the context of someone in power that gives it to someone that is not in power. So here both of them are prisoners, but he tells him, when you're not a prisoner anymore, when you're by the side of Pharaoh, do kindness with me. Do this chesed with me. From your position of power, remember me. Remember me. Don't forget me. Okay, let's go to another one. Isaiah 54, verse 10. We'll do a few skips in the beginning, and then we'll settle on Psalm 117. So if someone doesn't want to skip, you can go straight to Psalm 117. But Isaiah 54, verse 10. Isaiah 54, verse 10. So we saw chesed between two people, with Joseph and the other prisoner. And here we see it. Now we'll look at verses that refer chesed to God. So Isaiah 54, verse 10. Is there anyone that can read it out loud? Yes.
For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. My covenant of peace will not be shaken, because the Lord who has compassion upon you.
Amen. Amen. I know Michigan, well, I don't know Michigan. I know when I drove through a little bit of Michigan, I haven't seen mountains. Maybe some hills, kind of. But you know what mountains look like, at least from pictures, right? Okay. It says here, mountains may move. And I don't know if any of you saw mountains move. But when they do, it's very, very terrifying. I heard in Washington there was an eruption, a volcano that blew up. The mountain moved, the top blew off, right? That is terrifying when it happens. It doesn't happen very often. It says mountains may move and hills may shake, right? This is what it said, hills may shake. But chasdi, my chesed from you, will not move, will not be shaken. And there is a parallel here. Chesed, this word chesed, is paralleled with a covenant of peace. So we see chesed is from a position of power to someone that isn't in power, and it's also something that is covenantal, something that is a long-term commitment, something that cannot be shaken, especially when it talks about God's chesed. Okay, let's skip to one last one, okay? One last one before we turn to Psalm 117. Psalm 98. Psalm 98. Psalm 98. It's a beautiful psalm that I recommend that you read at another time. But Psalm 98, verse 3. If someone reached there, you can just stand up and read. Anyone got to Psalm 98? Yes. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness. Thank you. Amen. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness. It talks about God. Right? And love here, love is our word, chesed. Zachar chasdo, his chesed. We might forget things, right? The other prisoner that was with Joseph might have forgotten about him, and he asked him, remember me. God doesn't forget anything, right? It's not about God forgetting something here that it says remember. So when it says here, remember, it talks about something that is way more intentional. God intentionally has in his mind his chesed, his love, his covenantal love towards Israel. So we have chesed is something from a position that is given from a position of power. It's covenantal, and God is intentional about it. It's something that God is intentional about. And then we have all the other words that we are used to, love and kindness and loving kindness and mercy and all these words in this connection. So those things are things that God gives us, that God has towards us. So now to the last passage that we'll focus on and we'll stay on for the next few minutes, Psalm 117. It's a beautiful psalm. It's sweet and short. And it's very, very impactful. It's my favorite psalm. It has my favorite four verses in the psalms. It starts with, Hallelu et Adonai kol goyim. Can someone read the first verse in English so it means something to you? Praise. You can read out the whole verse. Amen. Yes, it starts with hallelujah, with praise. You know this word because it's hallelujah. Hallelujah is praise God, right? So you recognize the hallelujah. It starts with God's purpose for the entire world. With God's purpose for the entire, for all peoples. All peoples should praise him because he is worthy. Just in himself, regardless of us and what he has done for us, he is worthy. He is good. Amen. And then on top of it, he is not only good in himself, he also chose to love on us, to create us in his image. And later, when we chose sin in our own way, instead of him, he chose to continually love us. This is this chesed. This is this commitment from eternity, from before creation, when he just thought of us. He already knew he is going to be committed till the end. And the end was sending Jesus Christ to die in our place to carry God's wrath over sin instead of us. Right? So he is worthy to be praised. Amen? Yes, he is. He really is. Why is he worthy to be praised? We already talked of all of those things. But one of the things that this psalm talks about next is the brokenness. He's worthy to be praised even in our brokenness. We are broken, right? All of us. We are here in a big room full of actually broken people. How sin affected our lives. And we sang this song with, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with all the songs, so I don't remember the words, but it had to do with being washed white, right? And I can testify about myself that my white clothes sometimes have stains on them, and I need rewashing, right? And sometimes I'm not the best testimony to my wife of Jesus' love, and to the people around me, to my neighbors, of who Jesus is, of what God's love is. and I hurt others, and others hurt me, and we live in this circle of brokenness. And even just this past year, with not only COVID, but things that I've heard about what is going here in this country, the division, all the things that split people up, where people are so split, even families up. It's so hurtful. It's so hurtful to God too. How can God be praised in brokenness? How can God's glory be manifest through brokenness? And this is what this next verse talks about. I love this. I told you these are my favorite four words in Hebrew. I don't know how many words this is in English, but those are my favorite four words in Hebrew. Ki gavar aleno hasdo. Can someone read it out in English? Verse 2. For great is his steadfast love towards us. So steadfast love, right, gives you already the idea that it's like covenantal, that it's eternal, that it's everlasting. And it's love, the commitment. So this is our word. This is chesed. This is chesed. But the word before it, how it's being described, is great. And it's true. God's chesed is great. But it's more than great. In Hebrew, the word is gavar. This is the half word that you don't have to learn, but you can try to say. Gavar? Can you say that? Gavar. Gavar. Okay, good. This is a verb. It's a verb. And so it's not just an adjective. It's not just describing. A verb is an action. So what is this action? Gavar, if I'll use an image that you all know, I hope, David and Goliath, right? Who was great? David or Goliath? Who was great? Goliath was great, right? Goliath was the strong, big one, the tall one, right? That carrying all the, I don't know how many pounds, I don't know how many kilos, so I for sure don't know how many pounds of helmet and what a breastplate and armor and everything and all his weapons. He was great, right? In that sense, he was great. Was David great? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't describe him this way. He was a shepherd boy, a young boy, a shepherd boy. It describes him there as pretty or beautiful, right? Great doesn't come to my mind, right? But who won? The great? No. David won. David overcame Goliath. There was a war between them. There was a fight between them. And David overcame Goliath. And this is exactly this word. This is exactly this word. This word, gavar, indicates a struggle, a power struggle between two forces, between two entities, where one overcomes the other. So, who does God's chesed overcome? What does it say? Great towards who? Us. God's chesed, his loving kindness, his covenantal, intentional love towards us overcame us. It's not only great towards us, it overcame us. It overcomes us. It's a great encouragement for me. It's exactly the reason I love these verses, that I was in a state of war against God. I was in a state of war. I was fighting God. And God overcame me. God overcame me. He is victorious. I like to think about it too, how we are more than overcomers in Romans 8, right? We are more than overcomers. But what a great joy it is to know we are also overcome by God. And when we let God overcome us, overcome our selfishness, overcome our opinions, our thoughts, our ways, then through our brokenness, where we are broken, he can shine out. And just the last encouragement with that, you don't have to turn there. We sang this. In Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. in all my inner parts. All my inner parts. This is Yohanan translation. I don't think it says so in yours. But from my inner parts, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all he has done to you. He has forgiven all your sins. He has healed all your sicknesses. He has redeemed your life from the pit. He crowns you with chesed and rachamim, chesed and love. He crowns you with chesed. You are crowned with chesed. I think for everyone, a crown is a symbol of authority, right? A king wears a crown, right? God has put on you a symbol of authority, has put on you, has given you authority. And what is this authority? To rule over others? No, to love others as he has loved you. To show this chesed, to give this chesed, to extend this chesed, this intentional love towards others, regardless of what they do, regardless of whether they deserve it or not, to extend it to others as he has done to us. So, with this, I hope we are encouraged in this time of division, where the enemy tries to divide us and to split us up and even tear us apart from the world, to have us just coop up by ourselves and be uncomfortable to even mention Jesus and God outside of our house, that we remember he has given us authority and strength to go out and be his light through his chesed, through his eternal, intentional, covenantal loving kindness. Amen. And let's close in prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you. We thank you that your loving kindness, your covenantal love, your merciful love is everlasting, that you are intentional about your love, that it is as steady, as steadfast force in the universe that we can hold on to, that we can rely on, that you keep working in our lives in your chesed, that you keep showing us your chesed, and that by your power, with your authority and your chesed and your grace, we can show it to others. So we ask that you will shine through our brokenness. Where we are broken, that you will overcome us, that we will let you overcome us, so that your chesed can shine through to the world. For your glory, Yeshua, so that all nations may praise you, so that all peoples may praise you, and you will deserve, and you will receive the glory that you so deserve. Amen.